Our first reading is taken from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5 and verses 1 to 11. And you'll find that on page 202 of the New Testament section. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labour pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then, let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep at night and those who are drunk get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. And our gospel reading is taken from Mark chapter 25, verses 14 to 30, and you'll find that on page 27. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received 5 talents went off at once and traded them, and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more. But the one who had received 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents. Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master replied, you wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow, and gather where I did not scatter, then you ought to have invested your money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So, take the talent from him, and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so we pray that we might have understanding of that scripture.
Let's start with the words from the letter written to a church in another time, another place, yet could as easily be written for these times we live in and the world as we know it. The last year has seen in almost all areas of the world a rise in nationalism, the reoccurrence of old conflicts, natural disaster and human destruction. Russia, Ukraine, Palestine, Israel, ISIS crossing borders through the Middle East, disappearances in Latin America, disease and abductions of children in Africa, over and above failed harvests. Even down the road, not far from us, floods that took us by surprise and were quite unbelievable. A Scottish referendum that has forged a deep crack in our United Kingdom, which, along with all the unfriendliness of talk about our borders and the role of immigrants in our land, creates a sense of antagonism towards others rather than openness. Peace and security is further away than ever. So these words to a church in another time and place sound almost like the words of the prophet that we heard earlier. They are an invitation to be present to the world we live in, a call to pay attention to each day, each moment, and to open our eyes now rather than living for tomorrow and planning for the unknown. In fact, our readings today give a sense of urgency about life and a reminder of the things that we cannot control. Lest we seem too gloomy, they also invite us to think about the light of Christ and to focus on faith, love, and hope. The aspirations of the kingdom. And it was these aspirations that underpin stories of the kingdom that Jesus told in his parables. What is a parable supposed to be telling us about the kingdom of God? What is Jesus trying to say in the particular story about the talents? A story about people who were given something and asked to use it. Is this a story where Jesus is saying everyone must use their talents for God? What if we can find a simple response which might be to say that we should give all that we have to God, then set out to try and work out in practice what that means for our daily lives? Does it mean money? Does it mean our time or our energy, our creativity? What does it mean? I don't know about you, but it would have been much easier if Jesus had just told us straight what he wanted us to do. Never mind all these parables about selling sparrows in the market or clever everyday experience or nomadic lifestyles in deserts and shepherds leading their sheep or even the practice for security reasons of burying your valuables in the ground. Never mind all of these pictures. Just tell us what and how we need to live. And then we could just have a stab at doing it, couldn't we? Following Jesus in this world is hard enough, so why not set it out in clear instructions what it's needed so that we know what the kingdom of God is? On the other hand, perhaps the parables reflect, even in the use of what sometimes seems confusing images and strange, contradictory situations, that the following Jesus in our lives is not easy, cannot be simple. In fact, none of life is easy or simple. Perhaps the parables are a reflection of the reality of life that's hard for us to understand. Life has changed and is changing all the time, growing ever more complex, with difficult questions facing us about things we once took for granted. Questions like, how do we decide what medical operations are economically viable? What's our response to questions about abortion or end-of-life decisions? What do I do if the largest employer in my town is involved in the arms trade and is the only real prospect of work? Do I buy the more expensive but fairly traded coffee available, even though I'm struggling with putting aside money towards the kids having a good Christmas with presents? Is it wrong to want the bigger car, or is that against my Christian principles to want material things to improve? If I won the lottery, I could do so much with the money, so much good, and be comfortable. Is that such a wrong thing? What does it mean to love my neighbour when I hardly ever see them, let alone talk to them? And who is my neighbour anyway? The parables Jesus told are to equip us for these questions. Not easy instructions for every situation, but stories which require us to work hard at understanding. So, the parable of the talents as one of those confusing stories that's easy to get sidetracked into asking the wrong questions or being too simplistic about the message. A talent was equivalent to 15 years' wages for a day laborer. So almost a biblical equivalent of winning the lottery. Each person in the story received a large sum of money. Upon first reading, it's easy for us to be distracted by the amounts given. The 10, the 5, the 2. Was it fair that one should get 10 when one only got the 2 talents? We forget that the focus really ought to be on the giver of the talents. Anything that these people received was a generous gift. It was not theirs, and they had not earned it. All three were given a large amount of money, which meant they'd been charged with a responsibility. The responsibility was to use the gift wisely. Isn't life a bit like that? Yet it gets mixed up with our own understanding of what we think success is, tied up with our understanding of this, our money and education, our jobs, possessions. Even though much more important is our willingness to serve others, our love, our commitment to God and to others, we all have responsibilities. To some is given a lot, and a lot is expected of them. Yet it's not measured by how much we have. It's about how much God has. So let's get the focus of the parable right. The focus in the kingdom of God is how much God has given. His graciousness to us, giving to us out of his generosity. We know that it meant even to the extent of giving Jesus Christ himself, the teller of the story. The second mistake that we make, though, is to think that this is a story about giving back our talents to God. We should be doing this, but there's a much deeper truth about the kingdom here to discover. The story is told on the way to Jerusalem, near the end of Jesus' ministry. Jesus has been talking about revolution, the destruction of the temple even. And so the disciples were wondering about when this revolution was coming. And how would it take place? You can imagine them as they squabble and debate the future. Tell the Pharisees and the teachers of the law what for. Make them look foolish. Undermining authorities left, right, and center. How would Jesus do it? Was there some hidden army waiting for the signal to besiege Jerusalem at Jesus' command? And so Jesus tells this parable in answer to this kind of thinking. If he's giving them a story that's trying to help them understand the kingdom of God, what are the talents he is talking about for them? He had no money to give them, so that's not it. But he was a teacher, and his trade was to give them his teachings, his ideas. This is what he's going to leave them when he goes. He will leave his followers his teachings. For 3 years, he has been talenting them with his teachings. Now he says, you're expecting me to overthrow the authorities and set up some revolution by a miracle. No, what I've been giving you all these months together, the currency of the kingdom and the revolution, if it comes, will be by your taking seriously what I've given you. In the same way, we've been given teaching about love and sharing and peace in the everyday, but it's hard to live it out. We haven't received easy answers, but we do know that we must love our neighbours, i.e. other human beings. And this is the tough part of the story. There's a risk involved. If we start to do what we know to be right, it may affect our jobs, our home life, our popularity, even our success. The point of the story is the risk of obedience. The servant who got only one talent, didn't steal anything from his master. He gave it all back. He just didn't do what he was told to do. He never got involved. He did not take responsibility. Discussing talents isn't a test of talent activity. We may have read a book on talent preservation, looked up on the economic benefits of having talents, be quite knowledgeable on the present value of a talent. We may hold conferences on inflation and deflation of talents. But it's no good if we just never get to work. If we never put the talent out there and trade with it. I can't help but feel like, for the most part, we've been given plenty. Opportunities in education and work, choice in food and clothes, and things to fill our time with. We have choices about leisure, opportunities to develop our creative sides with music, art, games, writing. We can protest relatively safely about residence parking or cuts in library funding. We've been blessed with a lot. And the challenge of the parable is, so will we use that for the kingdom? Will we put it out there, the what we've been given, will we enable that to change the world? Is Jesus saying to us, you are all out there every day working, shopping, playing, mixing with people, making friends, getting on with business. But what about the kingdom business in the midst of all of that? I've given you these ideas and teaching, turned over to you my treasure. Now, what are you going to do with them? Are you going to wrap it up in church and talk about it? Are you going to take it out with you into your everyday life and live it? Because the kingdom of God is now, and the kingdom of God is still to come. And these three things remain for us: faith, hope, love. The aspirations of the kingdom and our lives. And the gift of God, not just for us, but for the world.